upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds at the Rodeo. I'm Eric, the resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
Man, I don't even know. I mean, do you want to talk about your game first?
Sure, we can.
Okay. Now, remember, Lando took a whole trip down to Denver, to Colorado. I mean, obviously, we saw how the game went. I mean, give us your thoughts, man. I mean, how was it being in, you know, Mile High Stadium and experiencing that and the altitude and everything, man? I mean, how was it all in all, I guess, before we jump into the game?
I mean, the entire trip was really fun. I had a very good time.
Right.
It was pretty cool being at an away game, but it's my first time being at another NFL stadium.
Right.
Got to go down on the field after the game and everything, and just the seats in general were pretty good. I was right there in the corner that the end zone, right where Joe Milton and Jalen Tolbert ended up scoring a touchdown, so was in perfect position to see plenty of action had there been any, but to get into the game, I mean, it couldn't have went any worse.
Yeah,
I mean, literally we lost in probably the worst possible way.
Yeah,
I mean, going into the season, going into the game, just the way we've gone, we know what our defense was going to be. In this game, 1,000% of the blame goes to the offense. I mean,
okay.
I'm utterly disgusted at what I saw. For that to be the game that
everything just falls apart,
everything, and it wasn't even that it fell apart in the sense that, like, what we've been doing this season just wasn't working. We lost in the worst possible way because we did exactly what I was praying, hoping to, we played exactly the way, like, we have every time given in that scenario, and that given that opportunity and the chance where it's, we haven't beat this team in 30 years or a team that's beaten us like embarrassingly in the past. Anytime that any chance that the Cowboys get to
avenge us,
get that monkey off their back, good luck, they completely fold. So, I mean, I
didn't know Denver has had y'all's number recently.
We have not beat the Denver Broncos since 1995.
I did not know that.
I don't understand what it is. Different players, different coaches, coordinators.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, oh, my gosh.
I don't understand
what is that, 30 years?
Yes. I don't understand how things like that happen. It makes no sense to me. But, like I said, they lost in the worst possible way because it was the fault of the offense. And like I said, not because we tried what we've been doing and it just worked. It wasn't working.
Yeah.
My worst possible nightmare came true and they just played scared.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how terrified that offense looked to push the ball down the field. And I just don't get it.
Well, it's funny too, because Pat Surtain, he went out pretty early in the game too.
So it makes no sense whatsoever that we went out and played that way.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't even like you said, Pat Surtain went out, so it wasn't even this in the sense that we're just going to let this shutdown corner
dictate what you do,
how we play, but they just let the it, they put entirely too much respect on who they were defensively. They gave them that respect more so than made them earn it, from what I saw. And I will say that going to the game in person,
yeah,
I don't know if what people were like were to think, but I mean, you look at you, it makes you think that, oh, it might be a little easier to kind of see the game as a whole and like see something.
Like being there?
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like it's harder.
Yeah.
Especially from depending on where you're sitting.
Right.
And because you kind of only see like one angle.
Right.
In terms of when you're watching at home, you see the entire game. So,
right. A lot of people say, man, like they prefer just watching the game at home.
Yeah. I definitely will. It just depends. The overall atmosphere, I feel like it has its ups and downs. I feel like the outcome of the game,
yeah,
like it matters a lot more when you're there in person,
right?
In terms of just like how you feel about it,
yeah.
But
yeah,
I know that just I feel like, yeah, watching at home, it just gives you a broader outlook on what you're seeing, so right. It makes it kind of a little easier just to see the entire game.
Right.
So I feel like I do want to go back and kind of watch a lot of things that I might not have been able to see. Might just see like how maybe the line was holding up on certain plays.
Right.
See like what some other people were doing on certain plays, but from the overall, from being there, to me, it just looked like they had no intention of moving the ball down the field.
Yeah. I think I saw your brother, was it Omar, that tweeted out after the Joe Milton ball. He was like, now we started to push the ball down the field.
Yeah. I mean, that was there was one other time we threw he threw the ball to CD downfield in the same kind of similar fashion. It was on the other side of the field.
Right.
And He ended up catching it. He just was out of bounds. But that was the only plays where we were like really just, you know, threw the ball at the end zone.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why.
Yeah. So, I mean, because you're probably one of a few Cowboys. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're in the Cowboys Discord, right? So, I mean, but from every other Cowboys fan I've spoken to, right, it's fire Eberflus immediately, and you know he's done
for sure.
Oh, okay. So you're okay. And I mean you spoke about his struggles all season, but also, I mean, that man had nobody out there. I'm not discrediting whatever he called, but he had nobody out there. Like Bridges, when he had that interception, after that, it's almost as if he didn't even have an interception because he was just getting worked the rest of the game. You know, like y'all literally have nobody. Like, on defense, y'all have nobody right now. Yeah, I mean, Matt Eberflus, I mean, he can only call so much even with the guys y'all have, like, or he only wants to call so much with the guys, you know, when y'all do have everybody fully healthy. But, I mean, when he has nobody back there, I mean, it's just, I mean, we saw it. It's just not watchable. It's just not watchable. It's not playable. I don't know. I mean, okay, so you're officially on the fire Matt Eberflus train.
For sure. Okay. I mean, like I said, I was out on him when he said he doesn't like Rich. I've never been more out.
That might be coach. That might be like his, unless he completely turns the thing around in Dallas, that might be his like most memorable moment in Dallas. Saying that, yeah, it was just a bad afternoon for the Cowboys, man. But I mean, because who do y'all have next?
The Cardinals.
That's right, on Monday night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I have no expectations. That's another team that we haven't beat in
really
something like 20 years or something like that. Or
that's crazy.
Kyler Murray is undefeated in the state in like Texas. AT&T Stadium as a whole. But
right,
yeah. I mean, it's up to them to prove everybody wrong because nobody.
So this game for you is like the make or break for the season.
No, the season's over.
Oh, okay, the season's over. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on with that?
No.
No? Okay. I guess we'll flip the script. We'll go ahead and talk about our game. We obviously avenged the loss to the Giants. First off, praise up to Cam Scatterboo. To be honest, when he got hurt on that play, I was kind of like, I couldn't even tell. You didn't watch that game, did you?
Yeah, I watched.
Oh, did you? Okay. So, like, when him and Zach Baum, like, they got tangled up, and Cam Scatter, like, initially, he like, rocks back and forth. Like, he's holding up his legs. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, like, did he, like, get a cramp or something? And then, like, I mean, I don't know. I guess they showed the replay in his ankle. I didn't see it, but obviously he dislocated his ankle. He probably out for the season, maybe? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
man, praise up to Cam Scataboo. Do the dog. He'll come back better than ever, I'm sure. But aside from that, man, I mean, man, Jalen Hurts didn't throw for a whole lot of yards, but, I mean, he passed for 4 touchdowns. Was very efficient. Saquon was able to finally break free and get the run game going. And shout out to Tank Bigsby too. I love Tank Bigsby, bro. Like when we traded for him, I was like, because they were talking about using him as a kick return, and I was like, no, Tank Bigsby is gonna be a great change of pace back for us. And he's finally starting to get some more touches. I mean, him and Saquon both went over 100 yards. I'm not gonna say we're back yet. I'm not gonna say that because, number one, while the Giants are getting better, it's still the Giants, relatively speaking. And that was just one game, right? We have a bye now, and we got the Green Bay Packers, man. And they just steamrolled the Steelers. So, yeah, man. I mean, Kevin Batulo called a really good game. O-line was starting to get some push. Defense was playing lights out. Jalen Hunt, he looks like he's starting to really come along. Brandon Graham did not play. I said Ingram because I'm looking at our rundown and got the NBA coming up. Brandon Graham didn't play yet, but I think he'll make his debut after the bye week playing against Green Bay. Quinyon obviously did his thing. Coop did his thing. We played our most complete game this season, so by far. I'm not even, you know, questioning that. Yeah, man, we got to keep seeing it. And, you know, we got to keep seeing it against upper echelon teams. Like I said, we got the Packers coming up after this bye. And, you know, can we run the ball on them? Right? Can we run the ball, and can Jalen still be effective and efficient in the passing game? Yeah, and everybody's been talking about, like, yeah, no AJ Brown, and like how the passing game kind of looked more cohesive possibly without him. Mm-hmm. I strongly disagree. I just think Kevin Batulo puts AJ Brown on an island because he knows he can do it. And we've talked about this before. You just got to move AJ Brown. I mean,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Dude, Jalen Hurts is out here throwing bombs at Jahan Dotson. And I mean, first off, shout out to Jahan for mossing. Oh, I can't remember who it was, but he mossed. Did you see that play?
Yeah.
I was like, that's crazy. But yeah, man, I mean, I still think AJ Brown is a vital piece to our operation. Howie Roseman came out and said it. He said, we're not trading. What did Howie Roseman say? He literally said, we're in the business of, like, making our team compete. Oh, it wasn't even Howie. It was Jeffrey Lurie. He was like, we're in the business of making sure our teams are able to compete for Super Bowls. He's like, if we trade away AJ Brown, we're not going to be the same team. And I mean, he's not wrong.
Right.
He's not wrong. So, no, you know, with the trade deadline looming, I do not believe AJ Brown gets traded in the season. I've said that before. I'll say it again, in the season, right? If his numbers still fluctuate and his mood is still up and down, I don't know what happened in the offseason, right? A lot can happen in the offseason. But yeah, man, I mean, I don't have much to gripe about, you know. Like I said, can we keep doing it consistently? Like, that's my biggest question. And that should be everybody's question, right? Nobody should be seeing what we did to the Giants and be like, oh my God, we're back. Like, no. Because, again, no disrespect. Again, the Giants they're ascending, and they'll get there next year probably. But they're still the Giants, relatively speaking.
For sure.
So, yeah, man. I mean, did we play a complete game? Yes. Should we have played a complete game? Yes. Yeah, man, that's kind of all I got to say about cornerback 2. Could still low-key be an issue, which we kind of maybe addressed today, you know, with the trade we made. You know, we traded John Mechie, the 3rd receiver, to the Jets for Michael Carter, the 2nd cornerback, former 5th-round draft pick. Fun fact, the Jets drafted him, right, Michael Carter, the 2nd at cornerback. They also drafted a running back the same year, also named Michael Carter.
Sure.
I remember that. So yeah, we brought in some reinforcements, maybe. Not the big splash move, obviously. Not going to get a Denzel Ward or I don't know how many other corners out there in trade talks, but yeah, man. So you know, we'll see. You know, trade deadline, like I said, it's looming. And shoot, you got the Patriots out here making moves. They traded Kyle Duggar. They traded Keon White. I thought immediately, I'm not going to lie, though, when I saw the Kyle Duggar trade happen, I was like, man, I'm surprised Dallas didn't try to, because, you know, y'all need help on the back end.
For sure.
You know, so, then I mean, if they're selling a guy, I mean, Kyle Duggar is a nice player, dude. I just signed a contract extension with them. He just doesn't fit what Mike Vrabel wants to do defensively. But he's still a hell of a player.
I mean, they said they've called all the 31 teams. They're doing the
Cowboys.
Yeah. They said, I mean, they said they do that every year. Like, literally, they were saying, like, this isn't. Now, they were like, oh, we've called all 31 teams, but that's just something we do every year just to, like,
do our
due diligence, see what's available. Yeah. So they say they're open to making moves. They know, obviously, offensively, so this was a terrible game. I'm not going to – it doesn't
– But you don't need, like, seismic changes on
– Well, I don't think there should be. It doesn't – I was going to say this doesn't – yeah, it doesn't erase really, what they've done all year. I still think they're one of the best offenses in the league. I'm going to take what they've done and, you know, apply that to what they can be all for the going forward and think that defensively is where if they make some moves, that can – like I've said, if they can just be – in middle of the pack to decent, this team really has a chance. So the making that move at the deadline, now I know it's a very – I know there's a lot of team, a lot of fans on the train of thought that they're like, no, man, this season's over. It's too far gone. Our defense is too bad. And there is not one to two players that can come in and fix that. And I understand that. I could see why you would think that this defense is too bad. But I just think that – just because you trade for a player now doesn't mean you're only, like, you can still build for the future. Like, I feel like
depending on who you bring in. But
the type of help we need is we need immediate help and help that can be a building block for the future, which I think we have a lot of draft capital and a lot of just assets to make that happen. So, they definitely need to make a move at the trade deadline regardless of whether they think the season is over or not.
Okay, so you, and we spoke about this before, you know, you brought up Max Crosby before, but if you had to pick any defensive player out there, you could come and make a move for him, bring him in, you had to pick one, who would it be?
The guy we talk about a little later who's very upset with his current situation in Myles Garrett, but that wouldn't happen. But so, I mean, but
wait, has Myles? Because I haven't seen it on his end. Did he come out and say something?
No. He didn't say he was unhappy, but his actions show he's unhappy.
Okay, you might have to catch me at the speed. I haven't seen.
Oh, why'd you want to talk about him then?
Because I guess let's go ahead and jump right into it. Myles Garrett, the Browns played the Patriots on Sunday. Do you know what Myles Garrett's stat line was?
Yeah, he went insane.
Myles Garrett had five sacks.
Yeah.
Five sacks, and his team got whooped by the Patriots. Now, the Patriots are a good team this year, but the Browns had no chance.
You didn't see him on the sideline?
No, I didn't. What, was he throwing a fist?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I didn't see that.
His helmet screaming.
I did not see that.
I thought,
but you know, that's good because I'm going to say this right now. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I do not feel sorry for Myles Garrett one bit. He had the moment, he had the leverage to get out of Cleveland. And what did he do? He said it wasn't about the money, but the money came. And what did he do? Came running. He had his window to leave Cleveland.
Yeah.
You chose to stay, Miles. So, no, I don't think Myles Garrett is all about getting a championship. I really don't. Because you would have got the money anywhere you went. Cleveland probably could offer you a little bit more because, you know, they have his draft rights and everything. But Miles, seriously, if it was genuinely about winning, like, seriously, if the money was never a concern for you, if it was just about winning, you would have sat out. Or not even sat. It wouldn't even got to that point because, I mean, you're Myles Garrett, and as soon as you get to training camp, you're not showing up. And he's already told you all offseason, I'm out, bro. Trade me. You would have got traded.
For sure.
So, no, I didn't see him throw a fit on the sideline, but you know what? Hey, that's your fault, Miles. You said it wasn't about the money. You said you were out here trying to chase championships, and you came running back to Cleveland. Like, Cleveland has ever shown you they could build an actual championship contender. So, yeah, I just want to speak on that because it's honestly sad because he is literally going to be like one of the greatest shoulda, coulda, wouldas.
I mean, I agree. I don't feel sorry. I don't think he'll be like a silly thing.
Cleveland's already come out. I mean, they've already come out and said they're not trading him.
Right.
Now, again, I mean, The teams say that all the time, and they end up trading guys, right? But
because, I mean, after he just signed, it's not like he'll be a Cleveland Brown until they say otherwise at that point. So, I mean, I agree that, I mean, it's not – you show full well, like, with your actions that it's not about winning when you choose to stay at Cleveland Brown.
Come on, man. I just, like – Yeah, man. So, I mean, Myles Garrett, go ahead and take him off the board. I mean, don't get me wrong. Dallas can get a Myles Garrett. I mean, hell, if we can get a Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I'd be willing to trade the two. Because in terms of, like, getting a guy like Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, I don't think we should trade both of the, like, two of our first-round picks. If we can get it done.
You could probably get Trey for at least – you could probably get him for, like, a first and a third.
Yeah, for, like, I think I said it last episode. If we can, you know, one of those picks, so we end up basically flipping Micah Parsons for a Max Crosby, Kenny Clark, and a first-round pick, then, I mean, that would work wonders. But, I mean –
So, would you – I mean, you think edge is the number one position y'all need to prioritize?
I think it's honestly safety. But
okay,
edge is for sure. I think
I mean, Trayvon, he's out for a minimum of four games now.
They put him on IR, but I think edge, safety, those are the biggest because we got DeMarvin Overshawn coming back for the linebacker
room. Vaughn Rebel, he hasn't even played yet, has he?
No, he's still working his way back, but they got him coming back to the cornerback room, so they got some help coming there in our safeties. They keep getting
hurt. Yeah, Wanye's out too.
He's missed the last two games with migraines.
Oh,
and then
man,
somebody got hurt in the game. It slipped my mind, but yeah, our safety room is running real thin right now.
Right. Yeah, they had what's his name, Reddy Stewart. They had him playing safety.
Yeah,
and they talked about it in the game. They were like, oh yeah, that, like because he made a nice hit on somebody, but they were like, yeah, Reddy Stewart's a corner though, but they got playing safety. Okay, so edges, so corner. I mean. You're not even concerned about quarterback, really. Like, once you get Trayvon back, I know you think Trayvon's going to be, you know, traded or whatever.
I mean, maybe, but that's why literally every position room in the defense.
Yeah.
There is needs help.
Because I've heard, I mean, because, yeah, Cleveland's not trading Myles Garrett. But, you know, we spoke about it early in the season. I've seen some talk, man. Apparently Denzel Ward might be up for grabs. I mean, I would love Howie to go get a Denzel Ward. I don't know who. I mean, I guess the Patriots are. They're like calling folks. Like they're open to dealing guys. So I wonder who else they're willing to give up. Because I mean, they're 6-2 right now. So you know, you can't give up too many key guys, right?
Right.
Aiden Hutchinson just signed an extension. Shout out to him real quick. I can't really think of anybody. I mean, Max Crosby. I mean, I gotta assume he's available. I just really wonder if he's like, because he's not even in the same like scenario as Myles Garrett. Because Max Crosby, he keeps re-upping with the Raiders, and he keeps reiterating like, no, I want to be here, I want to build this.
Right.
So, I'm serious. I'm not sure Max Crosby wants to leave Vegas. Which
well, just I can see that.
Right. Like, but brother, like, you deserve to be somewhere else.
Right.
like seriously, right? Who else? I was just thinking about somebody else. I don't even know. But, the Jets. The Jets just got their first win of the season. Shout out to the Jets. I don't know if they're willing to part with anybody, though. Maybe. I don't know. But, they just gave us Michael Carter the second. So, maybe they're willing to come off of some guys. I just can't think of – I don't know. Because I haven't really seen that many. And obviously, it's like the week before the trade deadline. So, talks will start to, you know, come out. Rumors will start to come out. Sooner, more and more, but I can't really think of anybody else who whose name should be on the block. I mean, yeah, I can't think.
I think we touched on a lot of the
like big names
right now.
Right. But yeah, I mean, just to put a bow on Myles Garrett, I don't feel sorry for you, brother. You could have 30 sacks in a season. Congrats, you're stuck in Cleveland. You wanted this. Like I'm that's how I feel at this point. You wanted to be. You know the meme of the Ferrari in the trap house,
right?
Yeah, like you wanted to be that. You wanted to be the Ferrari in a burning house, like you just like that's all you want. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe you know he's scared to really go to a big, big team and a better team and have to prove that he is like one of the best defenders of all time. Because I don't know why. I can't think of any reason to possibly sit there and say, you know what. Nah, man, I'm gonna stay in Cleveland. Like, it's like this. I'm here, bro. They're obvious. Andrew Berry obviously knows what he's doing. We got our quarterback. Like, no, man. They haven't shown you not once. And when they did show you, they fumbled it. Because they traded Baker and they signed Deshaun Watson. So I'm not going to lie. Probably after the first season of Deshaun Watson, like when he actually played, if I'm Miles, I'm out, bro. Like, I'm out. There's no way you just got rid of Baker Mayfield, the first guy to lead us to the playoffs in God knows how long. For this, I'm sorry. I would have been out right there, bro. I would have been out right there. So, yeah, Miles Garrett, spill milk, bro. Sure fault. Switching gears here, because there's a lot to talk about in the NBA. There's a lot to talk about. But before we get into the heavy stuff, I just wanted to touch on, because you hadn't really had a chance to watch a lot of NBA basketball yet, right?
No, not yet.
Now, I have watched a couple of the Lakers games. I got to say, man, I mean, y'all are falling apart, man. Injuries are just happening.
Oh, well, I've been watching the Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're just, Luka and LeBron are hurt right now.
And then Gabe Vincent's out too. Then somebody else?
I mean, the rotational pieces aren't... that.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, y'all, I just feel like the injury bug is really hitting y'all right now, but fair. But yeah, now Luka's out, and I mean, he was kind of carrying, you know, without LeBron. So how long is Luka supposed to be out for?
It's like week to week.
Okay.
But Austin Reeves was able to step up 50 points in his act.
Oh, did he drop 50?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
And then when they beat the Kings, he had like 51, 9, and 10.
Wow. Okay, Austin Reeves. Trying to show his value so he doesn't get traded.
he's not going anywhere.
You don't think so? Because that's like the talk, right? Like, Austin Reeves is the one guy, like, if you were to move to get somebody.
Oh, well, they're building the team with him, like, as a foundational piece, so.
Yeah, that's the name that comes up a lot when they talk about the Lakers moving to go get a third established guy. I mean, I like Austin Reeves, though. I do. Shout out to him for that 50 ball. But I just wanted to touch on really, like, real quickly, Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks. I watched the first game, and Jason Kidd had Cooper Flagg starting at point guard. That was a bad decision. Cooper Flagg is not a point guard. He's a forward who can handle the rock a little bit. Because here's the thing. I can't remember who, but somebody on the broadcast, it might have been Chuck. I can't remember, but they're basically saying, like, oh, no, it was Kenny. Kenny Smith was basically like, you have him bringing the ball up the court, trying to get other guys going, when his first job coming into the league needs to be getting himself going, right? And it's like, I'm with him at 1,000%. You have D'Angelo Russell on the bench.
Yeah.
Just start him. You have a point guard on your bench. Like, I think Jason Kidd was just trying to outsmart people and, like, be like, oh, like, watch this. I'm going to start Cooper at point guard. It's all going to flow. Like, no, dude, just start D'Angelo Russell and let him facilitate the offense and let Coop get easy buckets. Let AD get easy buckets, right? I don't know why he did that. So, yeah, immediately everybody's coming out like, oh, Coop is having a bad game and all this. Now I'm like, no, he really, like, if you watch the game, he really didn't have a bad game. He was playing well defensively. He was rebounding like crazy. And he was getting out of transition really, really well. But, like, he does that, and then he has to stop and wait for everybody else to get set because he's the point guard. He has to, you know, get everybody set and let the ball flow and everything. It's like, nah, dude. Like, let Cooper Flagg play his game. We talked about this, you know, when he was coming off the draft and the Mavericks got the number one pick and everything. Like, all Coop has to do is just run, rebound, yam on guys, play defense right now. Right? Even with Kyrie out. But that's all he needs to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Jason Kidd, let your rookie do that, please. That's all I got to say about that. Did you want anything or?
No, I agree.
Yeah. Now, obviously, there's some heavy stories out in the NBA right now. Terry Rozier getting arrested for allegedly point shaving. Chauncey Billups, head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, out here apparently finessing guys in poker games.
Yeah.
And Damon Jones, Cavaliers assistant coach, out here giving away insider information, allegedly. I'm going to say a blanket statement on gambling and sports betting and all this and that. And you can respond, you can agree or disagree. I really feel like if you are a professional athlete or you are involved in professional sports in any way, shape, or form, you shouldn't touch that stuff. It never ends well. Even if you're not directly doing it, it never ends well. And I just, like, if I was a professional athlete, I'm not touching it. I'm not something, like, my friends, bro, like, don't, like, literally don't talk to me. Like, don't, like, bet on another sport. Don't bet on a sport I'm playing. That's why I tell my friends. I tell my family that.
And really, like, when you think about it, like, you're making millions, right? Like, you're making millions. So you're going to risk all that to get what? A fourth, a fifth of what your salary is?
I don't understand it, man. I know that, you know, gambling is an addiction and all this and that. I'm not even going there with it, because Chuck even said it too. Like, don't get me wrong. People have, like, gambling addiction and everything, and I'm not even roping those people into this. It's just, to me, it's, like, stupid. Like, if you're Terry Rozier, dog, what are you doing? Even Terry Rozier hasn't been, like, a, you know, since Scary Terry in Boston, right? Like, he was going off, and he was, you know, a key piece in their rotation and everything. Since he got traded out of there, he's kind of, you know, he went to Charlotte for a little bit. Then he went to Miami, you know, kind of falling deeper down the bench. But, like, dude, he was still making, like, what? I think at least 15 mil a year?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing? Like legit, what are you? I that doesn't make any sense to me. Chauncey Billups? I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that. Because, like, apparently he was
using, like, the glasses.
Yeah, but, like,
cheat.
I see. Now, here's the part of the story I don't understand. I don't know if he was ripping off mob guys or helping mob guys.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. That part's unclear to me yet. But either way,
apparently, yeah, it got buried deep.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, like, got, like, two, like, his playing poker with his friends.
Yeah. I just, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that.
like, what are you? Now, remember, Chauncey Billups, this is not the first time he's been in the limelight for the wrong reasons. Like, when he first got drafted into Boston and everything, he had a case.
Yeah.
You know, him and, was it Antoine Walker?
It was him. I forgot who else was involved. But
I think it might have been Antoine Walker. I don't know. But, like, yeah, Chauncey, this ain't the first time we've seen Chauncey in this. So, it's funny because people will say, like, you know, his lawyer, like, did you see his lawyer's statement?
No, not basically. I mean, denying everything.
He was like, no man of Chauncey's character and you know, Hall of Fame career and legacy would ever jeopardize it for this. And it's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Because it really appears that he has. Right, so I don't even know what that. Yeah, we'll see how that whole thing plays out. And then Damon Jones, like, apparently they said he gave away insider information on LeBron.
Basically, yeah, like, he knew he wasn't playing, so he was basically saying, like, oh, like, bet against the Lakers.
I don't see any reason for anybody involved in the NBA, MLB, NFL, FIFA. Like, literally, if you're a professional athlete, WNBA, whatever. There's no reason for you to be anywhere near this gambling stuff. Now, I know, unfortunately, right, it's a part of the game now because, you know, they got deals with sports betting companies and everything. It's there. And Jaylen Brown said it best. You know, he's the president of the NBA Players Association. And he said, like, they haven't talked to us about how to avoid, you know, all the rabbit holes that come with this. He literally said, like, they don't tell us how to navigate this.
Interesting.
It's just here.
Yeah.
And he's right. Like, shame on the NBA and Adam Silver for not setting your players up for success on how to avoid the traps that gambling and sports betting can put you in.
Right.
But nevertheless, man, to me, it's just stupid. I'm not even gonna lie to you. It's just stupid. Like, I mean, we just seen it time and time again, guys. I can't even remember. You know the Untold series on Netflix?
Yeah.
Man, I can't remember, but, like, basically, these guys that... Did you ever watch the one with the guys at Arizona State?
No, I haven't ever seen
that. Dude, there was... So, in, like, the 90s, right? This guy, I can't even remember his name, but he was nice. Like, he was first-round lottery draft pick, hands down, right? He was a two-guard. This dude was nice. He got into point shaving. And he got into point shaving. And then he got the rest of his team into point shaving. And I mean, man, like, I can't even remember the dude's name, but, like,
ruined his whole thing.
Yeah, dude. Like, bro, it's crazy. And, like, cause it's like, obviously it showed him and then the teammates that were involved in, right? But then it also showed the teammates that weren't involved in it that like kind of saw stuff happening in the games where it's like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you not?
It's like, dude, you're not only setting yourself up for failure, you're screwing over good to honest people here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like your coach over here trying to make a living, like your team you got guys already trying to make it to the league. But like, yeah, man, it never ends well for anybody, man. In my opinion, it never ends well for anybody. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on the gambling issues in professional sports right now.
No, I agree. I don't think there's any space for it. It ruins the integrity of the game if you're not going to play for real. Like,
right.
If we are half, so then everybody else on the court is playing for one thing and you have your own agenda, it kind of ruins that. So we'll see what comes out, like with the details of the in the verdicts of these cases and the outcomes of it all, because, you know, those are some heavy implications, especially for the ones playing. Obviously, Chauncey's, his was kind of off the court.
But apparently he's also, he might be involved in the insider information, because they basically described Chauncey Bills, but they didn't name him in like the affidavit for that too.
Well, I mean, within, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that relates back to on the court definitely is going to have some heavy consequences coming with it. So,
right.
Definitely interested to see how these cases play out.
And Cash Patel, the FBI director, he literally said like, oh, this is just the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, dang, dude, like, yo, some guys, Charles Barkley said it best, man. He said, some guys' butts are tight right now.
Definitely.
I just, you know, like, it's just, there's no place for it. Like, John St. Porter, like, that was probably the most stupid one. Dude, you're a two-way player on the Raptors, but your brother is Michael Porter Jr. Like, you're set either way. All you got to do is play ball and try to make the actor squad, right? Like, all you, I just, yeah, I didn't understand that. You know, we saw with the ref, Tim Donahue. I mean, we didn't see this time and time again, man. We didn't see it time and time again. Jameson Williams in the NFL, he got suspended for, you know, just literally being on it, like, at the facility, which, you know, that, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever. But I just, there is no reason, even in our space, right? Like, when we make it to where we're going to make it in this, like, legit, I don't even bet on games now. I don't even, like, it doesn't excite me. For me as a fan, I feel like if you're watching the game just to see if your parlay hits or if so-and-so gets X amount of yards, like it's a fine line between that and fantasy, right? Like, don't get me wrong, if I have a fantasy team, like, yeah, I want to see Saquon go off or whatever, but, like, I'm not going to live or die on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, dudes with sports, it's just, I see it time and time again, man. I see it time and time again. And I feel like it takes the fun out of, like, actually enjoying the game and, like, the love of the game, you know? I mean, for me, at least.
Definitely. I think that it, a kind of separate thing from fantasy in the sense that
it's that fine line.
You're not watching for the actual, like, sport itself. It's, right. You're watching for a whole separate reason, basically. Right.
And then you got guys like, oh my God, like, crazy, like, just irrational people, you know, fans hitting professional athletes DMs and all this and that, talking crazy. Did you see what Isaiah Rodgers what got sent to him after the Eagles game?
No.
Oh, man, he had a guy.
People send the craziest thing.
He had a guy call him.
Death threats for anything, right? Fans are
people
crazy.
People calm down with that. People got to calm down with that. So, yeah, man, like you said, we'll see how these cases play out. Let me ask you this. Do you think if David Stern were still around, do you think this would have happened?
No, I don't.
Because, you know, people consider Adam Silver the soft guy, right? The players commissioner.
I mean, I'm not really sure what the difference between the two is.
Okay, so basically,
I mean
you've heard, sorry, right?
I don't have any frame of reference.
We were super young when this happened, but, like, you know, David Stern instituted the dress code. You know, he had to deal with the mouse in the palace. He had to deal with a lot early on in the early 2000s. I'm assuming most people feel like he handled those pretty well with Stern, no pun intended, but I don't agree with how he handled the Chris Paul trade. But do you agree with that? You remember what happened with that, right? He vetoed that.
I mean, there wasn't That's a whole other scenario. Like, it was more than just him vetoing it, but.
Well, what are your thoughts on it now? Because I'm curious.
That's a whole other. That's like.
But the league was the de facto owner of the Hornets.
Yeah, that's why it was.
But he was spearheading that.
It was like, that's why I said it's a whole separate episode. Like, we missed more than just the 5 minute. The details are more than just David Stern vetoing.
That's okay. You know the conspiracy theories, I guess.
No. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's not a conspiracy theory. Well,
I didn't appreciate how Stern and the league and whoever else was involved handled that. Because Kobe Bryant definitely would have had another ring with Chris Paul. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Adam Silver, I'll tell you what, he's definitely going to, you know, make his money this year. Because the Clippers still have that whole thing hanging over their head. And we don't even know how that's going to play out. Everybody's asking, that's not even a thing, right? With Kawhi Leonard allegedly getting paid under the table. But I mean, that compared to, you know, the gambling and everything, I mean, that's a, yeah, man, we'll see how everything plays out. We will see how everything plays out with that. But before we get out of here, it is now time for What Say You, where we talk about something non-sports related. We finally got a name for it.
Yep.
And, you know, Halloween is obviously 2 days away. Yeah, because it's Wednesday. Sorry, we usually record on Tuesday. My brain messed up for a second there. But yeah, Halloween is 2 days away. What is your favorite Halloween costume, or your favorite and or best? It could be the same answer, two different answers to date so far for you.
I was a Power Ranger 1 year. Just a blue Power Ranger.
I was a Power Ranger too. Which one?
Blue.
I was red. Mine was a morph suit.
I can't even remember. Mine was literally, I remember the suit, and it was just like the mask, like plastic little mask. Yeah. But
that was your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly didn't have too many costumes. Like, I was literally the kid I would just put on a jersey, and I was... Like, I went LeBron for about, like, 10 straight Halloween.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, hold on, wait. Was that also your best one?
I mean, yeah, because that was pretty much, like, my only other actual costume.
Okay, I see. So, Halloween, you're not, like, big into Halloween like that?
No, I am.
Okay.
We just didn't buy costumes. I went trick-or-treating until I was, like, 20. That's not even an exaggeration.
What say y'all about that? A 20-year-old going trick or treat. I don't know. I think I stopped my senior year of high school. I can't even remember. That's funny. But for me, my favorite Halloween costume, I was Jules from Pulp Fiction 2 years ago. That was definitely my favorite. I literally have the exact same shirt that he wore in the movie after they shot Marvin in the face and they had to change clothes. I literally have the exact same shirt in my closet right now. I couldn't get my hair completely out there, so I did buy, you know, a little fro to add onto it. I had the sideburns. I had the briefcase, and I literally put the 66 code into the briefcase. Have you seen the movie Pulp Fiction?
No.
No, yeah. Okay, so, all right. I mean, do you ever plan to watch it?
No.
Yeah, I think you should, but if you don't plan to, I'll just tell you, like, there's a briefcase. Basically, the whole movie is centered around this briefcase. And Jules, Samuel L. Jackson's character, Jules, his whole job is to get the briefcase back because it's his boss. Now, allegedly, his boss, Marcellus, allegedly his soul is in the briefcase. That's the whole, you know, mirage, so to speak.
Yeah.
In the movie, like, they show the briefcase when you open it, like, the code is 666. So I bought a briefcase and I changed the code to 666. That was my favorite one. Now, my best one, I'm not going to lie. My best one, I would have to say last year when I was Cowboy Ken from Barbie and Ken. I'm pretty sure, yeah, y'all saw me on here. I had blonde hair. I had my nails done. They were pink and they spelled, I'm just Ken. I had the old Cowboy Ken, like, Western black fit. I had a pink K, like, spray painted in my hair. Hands down, I think that was my best costume to date. I do think Jules was a close second, though. And I do eventually plan to run back Jules in the suit. Not this year. This year I'm going to be Anderson .Paak. You don't dress up as anybody this year, right?
No, not this year, but...
Yeah.
I mean, no, that's definitely... I remember the Cowboy King costume was definitely very detailed.
Yes, thank you. See? You know, let him know. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely my best one to date. Hands down, yeah, my best one to date.
But what say you? What is your favorite Halloween costume to date, or your best? Maybe it's the same answer. Maybe it's two different ones. Y'all let us know. But until next time, I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And thank y'all for tuning in. Please like, comment, subscribe, retweet. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We're still sitting at 31, man. Again, when we get to 50, we'll drop something. We don't know yet, but we will drop something for somebody. We'll do a giveaway, something of that sort, when we hit 50. But until next time, peace.
Later.